As we come together this morning, we continue to find ourselves right in the middle of this crazy pandemic. Now, I realize that some people don't even like it when that word gets used, because the word pandemic seems to kind of stir some emotion, some fear, some anxiety. I kind of understand that, but in reality, that is what we are in the midst of. And this thing has disrupted everything in our culture. Everything in our lives have been effectively turned upside down. A week or so ago, one of my daughters came to us. She broke down crying, and through her tears, she told her mother and me that this virus has ruined everything. And when it comes to a routine, and she's one of those people that kind of likes a routine and school and all this stuff, it really has kind of ruined everything for her. And I think that probably you can relate in some sense to that sentiment. Now, this may be somewhat controversial, but as I look at some of the things that have been happening around this whole virus, there are times where I'm not entirely convinced that our leaders have chosen the best path in the midst of this. While I think that it is totally important, it's wise for us to try to save as much life as possible. And when it looked like through many of the models that were coming out that COVID-19 was going to bring about the death of millions of people, as many as 2 million people in the United States, then maybe it made a whole lot of sense to try and pick a path that would mitigate that as much as possible. But then what happens when it turns out that the complicated models don't appear to be giving the right information? According to some models, we were being told that as many as 2 million people were going to die in the United States if we didn't take extreme steps to stop the spread and to flatten the curve, has been the word that we keep hearing. But now many of those models aren't supporting that, which is a good thing. I mean, we don't want to see that happen. And they're starting to wind those numbers down to 60,000, and I've even heard 40,000. And let's be really candid, 40,000 would be terrible. We wouldn't want to see that happen. And there have already been too many people that have died as a result of this. Of course, you might say that we are seeing this trend down because of all the social distancing that we have been going through. And maybe that's the case. It's not entirely obvious to me that that is really the case, but I'll grant to you that it may be. If the models are predicting something better, what now? What do we do as we've now looked at our country where 17 million people in the last 3 weeks are now out of work? You really can't even fully wrap your mind around that number. That's an average of nearly 6 million people a week for the last 3 weeks. And some of you who are listening to this right now, you are a part of those statistics. You're out of work. And this is weighing upon you in a huge way, understandably so. And aside from the economic devastation in the form of job losses and revenue losses, we, the people of the United States, or our representatives, we have now spent more than $2.2 trillion. That's 1/10 of the annual GDP in the United States in a good year. That's a lot more of the percentage of the GDP probably this year when everything is down. These are the realities as we find ourselves here on Sunday, April 12th, 2020. Coronavirus it's ruined a lot in a lot of ways. And we have adapted. Here at Cross Connection Church, we've adapted pretty well. We have turned our sanctuary here into something of a recording studio. We've moved from working here at the church office to working at home, like many of you who are communicating through Zoom or FaceTime. We're doing the same thing. We've created new programs and new processes to try to handle ministry that we are faced with right now in the midst of everything. We've done about all I think that we could do under the circumstances that we are in right now. And we've got more that we're going to do in the coming days and weeks should this continue to go on. But I have to say, this is not at all how I thought that we would be celebrating this holiday here at Cross Connection Church in 2020. This is not ideal. I was very hopeful that we would be gathering here in the sanctuary to worship together. But, you know, 2020 is not shaping up the way that I thought that it would. It's not how I saw things shaping up. I don't think that this is how you probably envisioned things happening right now this year either. Some of you at this moment, you have lost work for the company that you own. Or some of you have lost jobs. Some of you at this moment, as we gather together for worship on Easter Sunday morning, you are worried about upcoming bills that you are facing. Some of you are worried because of health concerns that you have or people in your family have, kind of immune compromised. Some of you are concerned about the politics of all of this. What will this mean for our economy going forward? What will this mean for civil liberties going forward? I've had a number of conversations with people in the church and other pastors around the country asking that question. What does this look like for civil liberties going forward? There really is just so much that feels uncertain. And as I was thinking about this last week, I was reminded of a story in the Gospel of Luke. After Jesus had been crucified, it's a story about a couple of Jesus's followers. These two followers, they had followed with Jesus because they believed in him. They believed that Jesus was worthy of their time. They believed that Jesus was worthy of their devotion. They believed that Jesus had power. They had probably been there with Jesus when they saw his power. Maybe they had seen him raise the dead or heal the sick or feed the multitudes. Maybe they even had had the opportunity to see him calm the storm or walk on water. They believed that Jesus could do things that other people could not do. And they believed that Jesus was the Messiah. And that word, Messiah, that meant a whole lot more to Jewish people living 2,000 years ago in the first century than we can even fully comprehend today. Everything that they had believed and hoped for was thrown into total disarray. It was thrown into total chaos on Good Friday, what we just celebrated a couple days ago. And after a couple of days of hiding with the other followers of Jesus as they were there in the city of Jerusalem, these two disciples of Jesus, they decided to leave. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, tells the story of these two followers of Jesus leaving Jerusalem, and they are heading west from Jerusalem to a town called Emmaus, which was just about 7 miles west of Jerusalem. We don't know exactly why they were heading in that direction. The road from Jerusalem to Emmaus, if they had stayed on it and continued going, that it would have taken them to the ancient coastal city of Joppa there on the Mediterranean. Maybe they were from that area. Maybe they were from another town along the way. It seems, and I could be wrong, I could be just speculating here in the text, but it seems like they were going back to their old life after their hopes were destroyed, after their expectation of what Jesus was going to bring about was crushed by the crucifixion. I imagine that these two individuals, that they were pretty brokenhearted. They were grieving as they were walking together. They were grieving the loss of Jesus, who they loved and had followed with for maybe three and a half years, but they were also grieving the loss of everything that they had anticipated and expected that Jesus would ultimately bring and do. They fully envisioned that Jesus would bring about a great future because they thought that he was the Messiah. And then Jesus died on the cross. The coronavirus pandemic, it has done something similar in our lives. For a lot of people, their hopes, their dreams, their beliefs, their expectations have been just pushed into chaos and disarray as a result of everything that's been going on. This is not what you envisioned for 2020. You didn't plan for this. In fact, I'm not really entirely sure that you could have planned for this. And at this point, there are just a lot of unknowns. There's a lot of uncertainties. We just can't see 6 months out. We can't see a year from now. And we don't really know how everything's going to, you know, kind of where the chips will fall in the coming weeks and months. And that can be somewhat frightening. In fact, that can be a whole lot frightening, especially if you're one of those people that's a real planner and you like to try and see where everything's going. This is what we would refer to as unknown or unexplored territory, and that unexplored territory can cause kind of a psychological angst and fear. And so we, in some sense, can relate to these two followers of Jesus. These two followers of Jesus, one of them, the text tells us in Luke chapter 24, his name was Cleopas. they are walking to Emmaus on the third day after Jesus was crucified. And as they are walking, something about their appearance, the way that they're carrying themselves, the way that they're conversing with one another, it reveals that they are sad, that they are grieving. The scriptures in Luke's gospel, chapter 24, they tell us beginning at verse 15, so it was that while they conversed and reasoned with each other, that Jesus himself drew near and he went with them, the risen Lord, but their eyes were restrained so that they did not know that it was him. So the text there says that they conversed, they reasoned with one another. I think they were trying to figure all of this out. How could this be? That had to be going through their minds as they were walking together. And I found myself doing the very same thing over the last 3 or 4 weeks, talking with a lot of different friends and other pastors from all over the country, talking with people on staff and in leadership here at the church, talking with friends, family members, trying to figure all of this out, trying to reason it out. I tend to be one of those very analytical people. And this is just one of those things that's very hard to reason out. And so while these two followers of Jesus did this, the text says that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. This week, as I was thinking about this text, I was reminded of this really important truth. Jesus is nearer than you think. In the midst of everything that we're going through right now, it is so important for us to remember that Jesus is nearer than we realize, nearer than we think. Our eyes may be restrained so that we don't fully recognize his presence, but he is closer to you than you might realize. And not only is he closer to you than you might realize, but I am absolutely certain that Jesus wants to draw near to you in this time. There are some of you right now watching this message from a pastor, from the Bible, who 4 weeks ago, you would have never thought that you would be listening to a message from a pastor from the Bible. 4 weeks ago, you would have never really thought about going to church. And yet, here you are. I mean, you're not at church, but it's church at home. And a family member or a friend sent you a text message, or you saw it posted on social media, and here you are listening to this message. And I want you to know that you're listening to this message because the Lord is drawing you to himself. And so Jesus drew near to these two depressed followers and he asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" Jesus comes, they don't recognize that it's him. And he says, "Hey, what are you guys talking about? You look to be deep in conversation. What is this all about?" And I love the reaction. I love the response to Jesus's question, especially as it is translated in the New International Version of the Bible. One of the disciples, they stood still, their faces are downcast, the scripture says, and one of them, whose name was Cleopas, he asked Jesus, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" You can't possibly not know what's going on is kind of the response, the reaction of the disciples. And Jesus answered them and said simply, "What things? What things are you talking about?" Now, I just want to point out that Jesus was obviously not unaware of the things that these guys were talking about. He was not unaware about what was going on in their lives or in the world or there in Jerusalem at that moment. In fact, the irony of the text is that he, Jesus, was probably the only one who truly was aware or understood what was going on. Cleopas and this other disciple and every one of the other followers of Jesus, they thought they understood, but only Jesus truly understood what was going on. So Jesus was not unaware. His question, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk together in this way?" I think it reveals a really important truth to us. Jesus is not unaware of the burdens that we carry. Rather, he is interested in bearing them with us. This is such an encouraging point this morning. Sometimes we can think that God doesn't know what's going on, but he actually does know what's going on, and he's actually very interested in drawing near to us and bearing the burdens as we go through these things. In another place in the Gospels, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If ever there was an important passage of scripture that the Lord wants to drive home to you today, it is that. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Even in the midst of a tumultuous situation like coronavirus 2020, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And so Jesus asked Cleopas and this other disciple, what are the things that have been going on? And they responded, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and the rulers of our people delivered him to be condemned to death and to be crucified. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. The two disciples said to Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, he was a prophet. We were hoping that he was the Messiah, the Redeemer of Israel. But today it's been 3 days since he was crucified. In other words, they said to Jesus, we don't have any hope anymore. Our hopes are dead. They went on, they said, yes, there were certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early in the morning this morning, and they astonished us when they came telling us that they found that his body was not there. They said that they had seen a vision of angels who said that Jesus is alive. And certain of our company went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see. And these reports, they seemed pretty unbelievable to the disciples. And in so many ways, it was pretty unbelievable. They had seen Jesus crucified. He had been laid in the tomb 3 days ago. He was dead. And now there's a group of people saying, no, he is alive. He is risen. And this reminds us that Jesus works outside the realm of what we think is possible. It's so important for us to remember that our Lord is the Lord of the impossible. And so Jesus spoke to these two disciples as they're reminding him of all the terrible things that have been going on around them. He says, oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And then beginning at Moses in the Old Testament and all the prophets, Jesus expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Listen, we don't always understand the ways of the workings of God, but we can be sure that God is working. Even in the situation that we're going through right now, we don't always fully comprehend the ways in which God is working, but we can know for certain that he is working. And though sometimes we accuse God of not knowing what is going on and not working things out the way that we think they should work out or just the right way, the reality is that his ways are higher than ours. The prophet Isaiah discovered this to be the case and speaks about it in Isaiah chapter 55. The ways of the Lord are higher than ours. And it's not that Jesus doesn't know what's going on. It's that he doesn't see the same way that I see. Walking with Jesus gives us greater perspective on the way things truly are. And the situation we're in the midst of right now, that's exactly what we need. We need a little bit of perspective. And when we begin to walk with the Lord close to him, we begin to gain that perspective. Our world can be turned upside down in so many different ways in an instant. The loss of a job, the loss of a house, the loss of a loved one, the loss of our own health, the loss of a savings account or our 401k, the diagnosis of cancer, or the diagnosis of coronavirus. All of the things that can turn your world upside down are brought into a different perspective in light of the fact that the tomb is empty and that Jesus rose from the dead. When we realize that the tomb is empty and that Jesus is alive, all of these things that can turn our world upside down are brought into perspective. And so we read in the text in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, that then they drew near to the village of Emmaus where they were going. And Jesus indicated to these disciples somehow that he would have gone further with them, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, remain with us, for it is almost evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, just like we did last week when we partook of communion together, and he gave it to them. And when Jesus blessed the bread and broke it and gave it to these two disciples, the passage says in verse 31 of Luke chapter 24, then their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? One of the great realities of Jesus after the resurrection is that Jesus will spend as much time with you as you will spend with him. And in that time, he will open your eyes to greater depths of his grace, of his mercy, of his truth. This is no doubt a challenging time that we are going through right now. You may feel that your entire world has been turned upside down and it's all in disarray. These are not the way things ought to be. These are not the way that we would have planned them to be. But this is the reality that we find ourselves in right now. And I know this in the midst of it, this, that the Lord desires to draw near to you to a greater degree in this time than he ever has before. He wants to open your eyes and give you a new perspective on the way that things really are. He wants to spend more time with you and reveal greater depths of his grace, of his mercy, of his peace, of his truth with you during this time. He wants you and me to cast our cares and our burdens upon him. He wants you and I to find a greater measure of his rest as we take his yoke upon us and learn from him. And all of that begins as we simply say to the Lord, Lord, abide with us. Just as these two disciples in this passage did, they said, Lord, abide with us. And I would encourage you to say the very same thing to the Lord today. Lord, abide with me. Because as you spend time with the Lord, as you draw near to him and he draws near to you, you will experience a greater level of his peace and joy and hope in the midst of trying circumstances. Father, I pray right now that you would minister your truth to your church, that you would draw us near to you, and that you would remind us that you are nearer to us than we might even realize at this moment. And you are desiring that we would experience your presence and that we would know your peace, that we would know that peace that surpasses understanding, that we would grow more and more in your likeness during this time. But Lord, I also know that at this very moment, as we are thinking through the scriptures here in Luke chapter 24, there are watching this live stream right now individuals who they saw a link on Facebook and they clicked on it, and maybe they have never been into church or they haven't been in church for a long time and they are far from you, but you're drawing them to yourself. And I pray, God, that you would, by your Spirit, draw them. If that's you this morning, if you realize at this moment that you are lacking in peace and joy and hope, and you recognize your need for Jesus to draw near to him, he is the one who gives us forgiveness and grace and hope. If you'd like to receive that hope today, I want to give you a chance to put your trust in Jesus by simply calling out to him in prayer. When we pray, we were simply talking to God. And I want to invite you to do that this morning. So if that's you, sitting in your living room, watching this on YouTube, watching this online, on your phone, wherever you may be, the Lord is ministering his grace to you. If you would like to receive his grace right now, I would invite you to pray with me this very simple prayer of confession and faith. Just simply pray with me right now. Dear Jesus, I pray that you would come into my life. I recognize that I am a sinner. I pray that you would forgive me of my sin and help me to follow you by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer this morning, we would very much like to hear about it. And you can just send us an email to the email address prayer@lifeinconnection.com to let us know that you prayed that today so we can be in touch with you and maybe even send you a Bible if you don't have one. But we're so grateful that you tuned in with us this morning. And we believe that God wants to speak to you through his word. We'd encourage you to check with some of our other resources on our website, lifeinconnection.com.